Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Herbs.
Listen in to Merryman Herbs, it's a better life show. Every first and third Sunday on 1340 Radio AM for the latest in holistic, natural, and alternative health information. Mike King will bring you a little fun with interesting health tips and the up-to-date, scientifically-based health news. He will interview some of the leading doctors, scientists, and leaders in the holistic health fields. Stay on top of your health and start getting a better life.
Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Herbs.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It is for educational purposes only. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding your medical condition.
Today, we have with us again Cheryl Myers, the Chief of Scientific Affairs and Education. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, Mike. It's so nice to be back.
Yes, and did you have a happy Thanksgiving?
I had a delightful Thanksgiving. How about you?
Oh, it was wonderful. We're well on our way to getting into the holiday season, so
that is for
sure.
Won't
be long. We've talked a lot about iodine and all of the phenomenal things that it can do for you, cleansing your body and so forth, and how it supports your thyroid gland. Can you just kind of do a little review for me maybe on how important iodine is and how it addresses the health and vitality of your thyroid?
Well, the thyroid gland, there's no gland in the body that's more dependent on a single mineral than is the thyroid gland. The thyroid gland makes thyroid hormone. And thyroid hormone is what tells our body how quickly to turn fuel, which is our food,
right,
into energy. So if it's working great and making lots of thyroid hormone and we're cranking along, then our fuel is going to get turned into energy and we're going to feel empowered and energetic. But that energy also plays a role in how our hair grows and how our skin regenerates and how our heart beats and how our lung pumps. It plays a role in everything. It's not just our perceived energy. It's
right,
the energy of our body to live life to the fullest.
Well, I think, now, you know, one of the things a lot of people notice is, particularly women, sometimes they'll notice that hair loss. And
absolutely.
That's a big sign.
One of the signs of having suboptimal thyroid function. So if your thyroid gland is not cranking along and doing what it's supposed to do and not making quite as much thyroid hormone as it did when we were younger, then you'll start to see all of those things start to slide back. So we'll see that food does not get converted into energy. So you feel tired and food gets converted into its storage form, which is fat.
Oh, we don't want that.
Yeah,
we don't want that.
Enough struggles with that. So
yeah.
We don't want that to happen. So when you start to see weight gain,
right,
hair thinning, skin getting rough and scaly,
being tired,
tired, and sometimes in women before menopause, they'll see a very, very heavy flow on menstrual cycles and irregular menstrual cycles, and you'll just see a lot of different symptoms that the body's just not working the way it needs to. One way to improve thyroid function, and perhaps the most important natural way to improve thyroid function, is to give it what it needs to make thyroid hormone, which is iodine.
Right, because the thyroid's like, I'm starving, help me. And, you know, it doesn't need to be cut out. It doesn't need really, you know, a synthetic pharmaceutical that has side effects. Is everybody, is a thyroid pharmaceutically deficient in levothyroxine? Is that what's going on?
Well, it's certainly not making thyroid hormone. And so if people have a thyroid that is removed or so damaged it can't function at all, yes, they are going to need thyroid hormones the rest of their lives. However, there's so much more that we can do prior to resorting to those extremes. That if we give enough iodine to the body, and we are living in an iodine-poor society, people have the mistaken idea that they get all the iodine they need from salt, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Right.
First, salt's not naturally rich in iodine. It's added to salt. Iodine is added to salt. That's why they call it iodized salt, to prevent goiter, which is iodine deficiency disease. Iodine consumption has dropped 50% since the 1970s.
Wow.
And in a recent study that looked at women of childbearing age, they found it was a 55% decrease.
And I think if you're going to be having children, it's very important to keep that iodine up, because I've read and we've talked about where, you know, if the mother is low on iodine, where while that baby is developing, it's going to have a lot of issues too.
That's true, especially with brain functions.
Yes.
So, So we want to make sure our bodies are replete with iodine. Unfortunately, we also are exposed to record levels of iodine's competitors, things that push iodine off of its chair in our body. And those are things like fluoride, fluorines, chlorine, like chlorine bleaches, chlorine in swimming pools, chlorine in our drinking water, bromines and bromides, like brominated flour and brominated
vegetable
oil.
Right. Yeah.
So all of these things compete. So is it any wonder that we're in a thyroid crisis?
Yeah.
Because we not only are taking away the nutrient our thyroid gland needs as a raw material to make thyroid hormone, it cannot make thyroid hormone without iodine, but we're putting in competitors that are
knocking
actually trying
it
to
out.
Push iodine off its pedestal.
Right, so, and living in the central states, which most of my listeners do, I mean, they don't get a lot of seafood. They don't eat sushi and kelp and seaweeds and sea vegetables and salmon every day or whatever. They just don't get the sources, the good sources of iodine. And, you know, if you live on the coast, you're going to be eating, you got, you know, access to a lot of the fish and all of fresh fish. We don't. So where do we get our iodine from? That's why I think it's so important to supplement with iodine. Now, along all of that, you know, there's been a lot of controversy and a lot of criticism about the old standard, you know, the TSH testing, the old conventional medical testing. There's a lot of new tests. If you want to contact Mary Mann, we have some of the latest information on pretty much what you might want to ask your doctor for. If you're low in D and you have high cholesterol, there's a free T3, a free T4 testing. There's a lot of things that doctors, I think, you know, just because the science has advanced so much, they're not really doing the proper testing. And a lot of times you can be diagnosed and have problems with, you know, your thyroid and so forth. But really what it boils down to maybe is you need just getting to the source of the problem, which is getting more iodine. So it's very important to get properly tested to find out how your body is metabolizing, you know, to make sure your body is actually getting the, you know, the free bioavailable, the T3, because T4 basically has to be reduced and made more bioavailable. So it's very important to make sure your body's doing what it needs to do.
You couldn't be more right. That is absolutely true.
The other thing that we need to talk a little bit about is the thyroid itself. When it becomes dysfunctional, there's a lot of things that can happen. And, you know, I think a lot of people maybe don't realize that the thyroid gland is extremely important. We can support it with, you know, the iodine. But then it goes a step further. The thyroid kind of is in conjunction with the adrenals. And that's what I really want to focus on today. There's three stages of adrenal fatigue. There's basically stage one, which is the alarm. You know, and again, you know, the adrenal increases your alertness and so forth, but you feel wired and tired. Then there's a resistance, stage two, where, you know, basically some of your blood levels and so forth get low. You get a fatigue and anxiety. And then finally it gets to when your adrenals are really, you know, starting to shut down. You get into this horrible exhaustion. So it's alarm, resistance, exhaustion. I know you're all aware of this. This is coming from some of the literature and information that your company is so generously makes available. We have a lot of great books and literature to help people to educate themselves on, you know, your iodine intake, your thyroid, your adrenals, all at Mary Mann, and it's all free, and we're more than happy to make it available. But how did the adrenals, I mean, some of the symptoms are very, very similar, and some people get very confused. Sometimes people will start with the iodine supplementation, and it doesn't really quite go all the way or get things done. There's some people that in the science that say, okay, well, you know, you need to address the adrenal fatigue first and take the supplements for that, and then address the thyroid fatigue, you know, the thyroid issues and do that first. What? Give me the latest on that, Cheryl. You're so good at that.
Well, you know, when we look at the adrenal glands and the thyroid gland, they all make hormones, and the hormones work a little bit differently. They all have different purposes. Hormones are messengers. They tell our body to do certain functions. So when I'm talking to patients, I often say that the thyroid gland is the marathon runner. It makes hormones that have to have energy production every single moment we're alive. For our heart to beat and for our bones to knit and for our brain cells to fire, we have to have, that's called our basal metabolic rate or basic metabolism. The adrenal gland is a sprinter. That's our emergency energy reserve.
Okay.
That's where we get the extra energy we need when we rise to the challenge. And so our thyroid gland and our adrenal gland do communicate. All of the glands in our body that makes hormones are on the telephone to each other constantly. They are like teenagers at the mall. They have that smartphone.
I love your
out.
Analogies.
They are constantly texting and Instagramming each other like crazy, sending pictures, sending text. So everything that happens in the body is instantaneously communicated to other parts of the body,
wow.
and it influences it. So very often, you'll see individuals who have less than optimal thyroid function that also have less than optimal adrenal function, and the symptoms overlap because a lot of it has to do with energy, resilience, the ability to rise to the occasion.
So they can go hand in hand then.
They can.
Yeah, and overlap.
So
right.
The current thinking most people think is that support the adrenals first.
Okay.
And because if you treat the thyroid first, then the thyroid gland, when it starts to crank up production, puts additional stress on the adrenal gland. And if the adrenal gland is not being strong and doesn't have the nutrient support that it needs, you're going to see all of a sudden people who feel better for 2 weeks and then, boom, they're down again.
So it's like the whole house falls apart because
right.
the foundation isn't there.
But there right. are practitioners who say the opposite.
Oh, okay.
Treat the thyroid first. And if you start to see that the symptoms are not getting to where you need to be, then that identifies the fact that you need an adrenal supplement as well. So it kind of goes both ways. The truth of the matter is, as long as you're paying attention and listening to the signals of your body and you're working with people who know what they're doing with natural medicines and nutrients, whichever you start with is going to be just fine.
So you're going to get to the end of the race anyway.
You're going to get there eventually.
Yeah,
it
right.
may take longer if you pick the wrong way
okay.
for your body. You might get there faster if you pick the right way. The truth of the matter is, listen to the signals of your body. Determine how you feel. Just when you start to supplement, let's say you do start with adrenal first, and there are nutrients that can have a huge impact on healthy adrenal function.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about that. I want to interject this really quick because we go round and round about salt. I think now that the FDA I think it's out in New York, they're actually going to be putting salt sodium warnings on things. And there's a lot of controversy with this because some of the latest studies are showing that mild to moderate salt use and some of the older studies, you know, really doesn't raise your blood pressure and create an issue. In fact, if you don't get enough salt, it can be an issue. And that's, again, with your adrenals, it's really a ratio between the sodium and the potassium. I've even had, and I think in one of Terry's lectures I heard, sometimes to help your adrenals, you actually sometimes need to drink a little bit of mild salt water to try to get the sodium levels up. And, of course, you know, there's always a lot of emphasis on not the refined salt because that contains everything from aluminum to, and I've even heard this, believe it or not, it's got arsenic in it, a very small amount as an anti-caking agent, and even a little bit of sugar. So, the refined salts are really something that, the white, pure white stuff's really just like refined sugar, refined flour, refined salt, but the natural, what we call unrefined salts, there's a lot of different types, Himalayan and on and on and on. You can have a lot of fun with that. There's even a Hawaiian black that has a little bit of volcanic ash in it. But you have a lot of fun with the natural unrefined salts. But actually, I was kind of surprised to hear that sometimes increasing a little bit of the salt or the sodium can be beneficial for the adrenals.
There's a class of individuals who have low adrenal function that are that have low blood pressure. And their blood pressure, one of the things that sodium helps is then that's why it got the reputation for raising blood pressure, is that sodium is necessary for your blood pressure to raise in response to the needs of your body.
Yes.
So if you are, let's say you are walking along and you're kind of tired and your blood pressure is pretty low and your heart's thumping along, and a tiger jumps out from behind a bush.
Boom.
I got to guarantee you that heart rate's going to increase and that blood pressure is going to increase to help you have the perfusion of blood throughout your muscles, your brain, your body, your organs, to give you every chance of being able to either fight the tiger or run away from the tiger. Now, that's a dramatic example, but your blood pressure has to raise in order to help you meet the challenges of the day. So when you are low in salt, that's one of the issues. It's certainly not the only issue. But it is true that some people with low adrenal function are not very good at holding on to salt in their body. And then when they get into a situation where their blood pressure should be able to raise so that they have the energy to do what they need to do, it kind of fails them. So you are absolutely right. For certain individuals, I have an acquaintance who struggles mightily with low adrenal function, treating it normally with natural compounds, mm-hmm. but he has bread and butter, and he has a whole grain bread every night, and he puts butter on it, and he just covers it with salt. And he gets this extra salt supplement every day that way to help him have enough sodium on board so that his blood pressure can increase when it needs to increase.
Well, another thing, too, a lot of people that exercise or, you know, do a lot of running and even the infrared saunas and do a lot of sweating, they really need to watch their electrolytes. I've known of individuals that actually end up having seizures because they're not watching their electrolytes, which is more than just salt. It's your potassium and all the other mm-hmm. Essential minerals that you would get. And there are some really phenomenal supplements. One of my favorite ones to replenish your electrolytes is the coconut water. It's just chock full of all kinds of phenomenal nutrients and added nutrients. A lot of these commercial, and I'm not going to name the brands, but a lot of them, they'll even put fructose or they won't be holistic. With the coconut water, you're getting a lot of other nutrients and a lot of other phenomenal things, and it's very, very well balanced. Now, there's some things we can, you know, everybody's like, okay, well, I want to take a pill, I want to do this, I want to do that, but there's actually an adrenal-friendly diet, and, you know, one of the core things is eating real food and really getting, you know, fruits and vegetables and the food that's really holistic and good for you, get a lot of protein. And again, you know, carbs, they're not all created equal. You really need to maybe do a little study, or we can give you more information out at Merryman, but you really want to watch those highly processed carbs. I know a lot of it. I have customers go, it's just terrible. The stuff that tastes really good is always bad for you, and the stuff mm-hmm. that tastes bad is good for you. So, and the other thing is to watch your fats. There's so much, you know, all of these processed, hydrogenated, you know, there's so many sources of really good fats. You know, avocados or even, you know, peanut butter, coconut oil. I mean, there's so olive oil. I mean, you know, people don't understand sometimes that the margarines and so forth are actually causing more harm than good. And then, of course, we talked about the salt. And then a big thing that addresses, I had a customer in the other day that was just fatigued. And she said, you know, one of my friends said I wasn't drinking enough water. I started drinking more water. And you know what? I've got more energy now, and I feel so much better. She was dehydrated. So, I mean, it's really important to drink a lot of good water. And then the big thing is that sugar. You know, staying in this time of year, it's so hard to do. But, you know, really wanting to stay away from the sugar and the processed foods. You know, they're, you know, the artificial colorants and the sweeteners and all these things. You really need to watch out for that. Now, your company makes some phenomenal products, and I know you're an expert on this. I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but there's a lot of adrenal balancing and supporting supplements. Can you talk to us a little bit about what we might want to look for in a product that could be beneficial to help to support our adrenals and maybe even into our thyroid and so forth?
Well, one of the strongest adrenal supports on the market, in fact, in my opinion, I haven't seen anything that's a stronger adrenal support than Adrenaplex.
Okay.
And Adrenaplex contains three categories of compounds, each of which work differently to support the health of the adrenal gland, to help stimulate additional hormone synthesis, or to help compensate for the lack of hormones that the adrenal gland is making. So it contains three classes of compounds. It has the nutrient class,
okay.
which are human identical, those bioidentical B vitamins, because those are required by the adrenal gland to make certain compounds like epinephrine and norepinephrine that are made in the adrenal glands. Those types of compounds require adequate amounts of active B vitamins in the body
for their
manufacture.
Right. I don't think people understand that the B vitamins are really core for our source of energy. B vitamins play, you know, and it's a lot of times taking one can actually, a high dose of one can actually cause imbalancing. It's a lot better to get combinations or a synergy there. But the B vitamins are core to a lot of the mechanisms that create energy and support, you know, our adrenals, our thyroids, and everything.
You know, and they have to be in the bioidentical form because, or the bioactive form.
Good point.
Because B vitamins in food and B vitamins in most supplements, up to 35% of the population cannot adequately convert those into the human form. So when you take it in, one out of three people are not doing a very efficient conversion process. So on paper, it may look like they're consuming adequate amounts of B vitamins, and yet they still have all these symptoms.
That's
because they are probably very poor converters.
Well, that's a very great point. And people that have MTHFR, they can't metabolize folic acid. They have to get folate. The what that we used to call the cyanocobalamin, the B12, actually is, and now we don't even know, we might sell one supplement for people that want something very, very inexpensive, but we've converted all the way over to the methylcobalamin, and we're seeing, you know, there's a lot of other B vitamins, the P5P and so forth, that there's a lot of B vitamins that can be made synthetically that really are causing probably more harm than good. That's a very good point, Cheryl, that you made about that. I didn't realize it was 30% of the population.
I've heard 30 to 40%. So it has some level of inadequacy or inefficiency.
I've heard upwards of 80% of the population has some kind of MTHFR genetic deficit that has problems with metabolizing the B vitamins. So, you know, anywhere from 30 to 80, the science will come out. We'll get better numbers as more people are tested and analyzed. But, yeah,
so
I think
that's why it's important that the B vitamins are in the bioactive form.
Yes, and your company is.
Because if you're already having issues with adrenal health, then you may well be one of those individuals that aren't the best at converting. So that's why they're put in the, I call it the Cadillac form of B vitamins.
Right, and your company is great at using the highest quality. That's, again, you know, that's why I deal with your company. That's, you know, not only Terry and you know, the owner and you and all of your, even Chris Gillum, the medicine hunter. I mean, you've got some really phenomenal, brilliant, genius scientists, people that are just very innovative, and I like to work with companies and make those their products available to my customers because I want the best. I want the Cadillac, and I want a good price, and that's another thing that's really important too. I mean, you can spend a lot of money on a supplement, and it may be garbage, and, you know, the price isn't always everything, so you want to look for, you know, what we say at Merryman, highest quality, then lowest cost, and it's got to it's got to work.
I heard a very smart person one time say the most expensive supplement you'll ever buy is the one that does absolutely nothing for you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and there's a lot out there. I get so frustrated because I'll start reading the label on something maybe from a big discount, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is basically plastic. It's garbage. It's not going to do anything. And people are like, well, you know, I bought this vitamin E and it didn't do anything. I'm like, well, there's a lot of different types of vitamin E. There's a lot of different types of B vitamins. Now, you've talked about the B, and I kind of got interrupted you there. So what are the other things? We're talking about B vitamins. What else is in this adrenoplex?
Well, there's also some hormonal support. So we have DHEA, which is a hormone that is made by the adrenal gland, which is a magnificently interesting hormone.
Yes, and Cheryl, I got to stop you. I'm going to put you on the spot again. Can you pronounce that for me? Because I've tried it. I think it's dehydroepiandrosterone, but is that right?
You're as close as I can get there, Mike.
Okay.
That's why everybody goes by initials on some of these.
Yeah. The word for today is
dehydroepiandrosterone.
Yes. Bing, bing, bing.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That's the word for today.
So the
DHEA can turn into, it can metabolize into more than 100 different compounds.
Yeah, it's supposedly
DHEA itself, too.
Yeah, so the mother of all hormones. Yeah.
It has an important role as DHEA.
Okay.
But let's say you're a woman and you're going through menopause and all of a sudden you're not making very much estrogen.
Mm.
Well, a little bit of that DHEA may turn into estrogen to help cushion the blow so that your body doesn't have a sudden withdrawal of a hormone it's come to depend upon.
Okay.
Let's say you're a gentleman and you're reaching a certain age and you're starting to have slowdown of testosterone manufacture. A little bit of that DHEA may turn into testosterone to help cushion the blow. So it can turn into, it's a chameleon that can become what your body needs it to be. That's one of the reasons why we often see additional adrenal stress when women go through menopause or when men have a testicular slowdown of the production of testosterone is because it puts an additional stress on the adrenal gland because the adrenal gland is trying to compensate for those changes. So we put in some DHEA at a very reasonable level. We have another compound is a bovine adrenal extract because it provides exactly the compounds
holistic,
that the adrenal gland
core,
requires
right.
for functionality.
Okay.
And so then we also have two herbals, one you may have heard of and one may be new. One is licorice.
I love licorice.
It can be so medicinal. Licorice is not like American licorice, which is flavored with anise, but true licorice is not only a flavoring, but it's a very powerful natural medicine.
Yes.
And it keeps one of the hormones that the adrenal gland makes active in the bloodstream longer. So if you're having adrenal glandular slowdown, cortisol helps to it helps to boost the cortisol's activity in the body so that you don't have all of those symptoms. And last but not least, the cutest little purple flower. It is a lovely plant. It's called Rimania, and it contains a compound called catalpol, and it's a very mild, safe, non-toxic stimulant of the adrenal gland. So it knocks at the door and very politely says, excuse me, adrenal gland, but could you maybe take it up just a little bit because we need a little bit more functionality. So when you blend those together in a formula, you're addressing adrenal function from a raw material standpoint of providing nutrients for the adrenal gland itself to remain healthy and hormones to compensate for some of the loss of adrenal function.
Wonderful. Well, just real quickly, I know sometimes people get a little concerned about licorice root, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but in general, what the amount of licorice that you would get in any supplement is really never going to affect your blood pressure. You know, it goes back to people eating like, you know, a quarter to a half a pound of licorice candy or way overdoing something, but in general, it's really not a concern at all. And I just wanted to point that out because some people are like, well, I can't have licorice. It's going to cause problems. I'm like, no. We're talking about
a different thing. You have to get in the multiple gram area, like 3 to 5 grams. That's 3,000 to 5,000 milligrams to even see a little bump. The reason that warning came to be is because in Great Britain, those really fancy, nice licorices, those all sorts of licorices,
the good stuff,
which are tasty. I do like them myself.
Right.
But those licorices have real licorice in them. They're not flavored with anise like American licorice.
Right.
And people just would love them. And, you know, if two are good, 27 might be better. And people were eating grams and grams and grams, so buckets of licorice, and
their blood pressure started
to go up. And then when they took their licorice candy away, their blood pressure came back down. But that's not true when you use it as a natural medicine. As long as you keep it, if under a gram a day,
reasonable.
You're never going to see
an
issue. You really do have to take it in a much larger amount.
Right. Well, Cheryl, this is wonderful. We've run out of time.
It just flies by, doesn't it?
It does. We'll be talking really soon, and thank you for all the wonderful information. And if anybody has any questions, feel free to come out to Merryman. We'll be more than happy to educate you. Cheryl, thank you so much.
Thank you.